was so wonderful to see people so into praising God and just don't pay attention to anything else around them. And that's okay, Brother Ollie and Brother Thanopoulos. It's all right. But we know where your focus is. It's on serving God. And that's a good thing. As Brother Glenn was telling individuals to sit down, this side of the room didn't see him. And then those that did see him, two still didn't see him. But that's okay. That's okay. As we come together on this evening, I would like to direct your minds to the subject of Jesus the Way. Jesus the Way. And as we were gathered together on this morning, we had Brother Corny come forth. He wasn't our brother at that time, but he is now. Amen. And obeyed the gospel. And you know, there's nothing, as Brother Daniel stated on the air, and I stated with him, there's no better day than to see someone be obedient to the doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No better day. Yes, we know and we understand that through our walks with the Lord, that some will fall away. And then, again, there's no better day for them to come back to the fold. Amen. So we have some good days, and we have some bad days. We have those good days where we know exactly where we're going and we know exactly the way to get there. Amen. And then we have those days where we're a little confused. We don't really know which way to go. We don't really know which way to turn. So we need some direction. But that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, or this evening about for a little while, is some direction. Jesus the Way. There's no other way but His way.
Amen.
This is not Burger King. And I've already told you that I don't eat Burger King in Kentucky anymore. Burger King here in Kentucky is mighty slow. Mighty slow. The food is hot, but they're slow. But Jesus is one that is always on time. You're lost? Open up the Word. You're confused? Open up the Word. You're a little delirious? Open up the Word. I have a license plate that states, and I don't wear it on my, I don't put it on my vehicle anymore. I thought it was cute when I first got it. But the license plate states, when all else fails, follow the directions. That is so wrong. That is so wrong. We don't want to wait until things fail before we follow the directions. We want to follow the directions immediately so there will not be a doubt of which way we are going and how to get there. John chapter 14, the verse 6. John chapter 14, the verse 6. And we looked at this verse on this morning. And I think it is appropriate that we look at it again if we want to know that Jesus is the way. John 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. No confusion there. The truth. There's no lie there. And the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How do you get to the Father? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Can you read anything else into that? Can you, are you confused about the way? There are some men that are confused. Why? Because they want to try to put so much into it. We could probably take the youngest child here and ask them how to get to their house. And probably they could tell us, probably now, there are some that are a little confused, but probably they can tell us how to get to their house. Jesus, as he states here that he is the way, he has said this in a manner that even a small child can understand it. If you let them read that scripture and then you ask them, what's the way? Or who is the way? They're going to tell you that Jesus is the way. The grown-ups will tell you that there is some other way that you can become a member of the Lord's church. Or another way that you can become a member of some denomination or group. Or there's another way that you can get into heaven. Jesus says there's not another way. There's only one way. And it is His way. Jesus is the way. He's the way to God, according to John chapter 14, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21. Because we want to know exactly how to get to God. We don't want to bypass any direction. We want the straight direction. How to get there from point A to point B. The shortest distance or a straight line distance. How to get to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 18. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He had made to Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus is the way. One that committed no sin whatsoever, but He was made to be sin, as we read here in the Scriptures, for us. He was crucified for us. For God so loved the world, there in John chapter 3, verse 16, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He is the way. There's not another way to God. He's the way to forgiveness. You want to learn how to forgive? Look at the life of Christ. You know, we have a problem with this. Not only do we have a problem with forgiving others, but sometimes we even have a problem with forgiving ourselves. Why is this? It's because we do not really understand what forgiveness is all about. And we will, in the near future, we'll go through a complete lesson on forgiveness. If not here, we'll do it on the air. But we want us to understand what forgiveness is, and it is the way of Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. If He's to take away the sin of the world, that means that He's going to forgive them. This is not probation. This is not parole. This is a pardon away from sin. And that's what we do not understand sometimes. We put people on parole, or we put people on probation. You know, one comes back to the flock and we say, well, we're going to put you on a probationary period. No, we don't have any scripture for that. We're going to parole you, and then when you mess up again, we're going to put you back where you came from. No, we don't have any scripture for that. We don't hold anything over anybody's head. We have to do as God has did, because we're looking at what Jesus did. We have to pardon them, because that's what God does. God pardons us. In 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, Jesus, He's the way to forgiveness. No other way but His way. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 9. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. You cannot remove Jesus from the picture. We live through Him. We live by Him. We follow His rules. For herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. He did what the Father wanted Him to do. He went to that cross so that we could be free from sin. And yes, there are many people that believe this, and there are many people that abide by this, and there are many people, as they recognize this, they live a life that is pleasing unto God because of what Jesus did, because He is the way. And we need to continue to follow Him. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, as Peter preached there on the day of Pentecost, that first gospel message in which we always like to talk about, and we like to speak on these things, and we like to continue to preach on these things so that people may know what they need to do in order to get their lives in order. As Peter was standing there and he was preaching unto them, he said in verse 23, him being determined by the being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. But that's okay. That's okay because of what Jesus said when he was on that cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He continued on as he was preaching and talking to them. And in verse 36, he said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, not another, but that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, we talk about Jesus is the way to forgiveness. When these men heard that, they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Because we want forgiveness. We want to be forgiven for crucifying Jesus up on that cross. Then Peter said in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, as he stated there in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, we understand and we know and we recognize that all of them didn't obey that day. But the Bible does tell us about 3,000 souls there in verse 41 were added unto their number. About 3,000 souls. That's a lot of people. It's a lot of people. To admit that they had done wrong. And they wanted true forgiveness for doing wrong. They didn't just want a report. They wanted to repent of their sin. They wanted that sin to be remissed. And therefore, they gladly received what Peter told them. And they were baptized. Jesus is the way to forgiveness. In Acts chapter 22, verse 16, Saul, on his way to Damascus, on the road there, that bright light shined from heaven and knocked him to his knees. As he got there, he was told what he was supposed to do. And there in Acts chapter 22 to verse 16, it was said, arise. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. He wanted forgiveness, and he got forgiveness. All of us that have been baptized, we have received forgiveness because we knew and we understood that Jesus is the way to forgiveness, and we accepted that. Now, there may be some here that have not done that yet, but have been contemplating it in their minds. And, you know, you're wondering, you know, how can I truly get this forgiveness? Or how can I really get to God? Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the only way. There's no other way. There's no other way except through Jesus Christ that we find a better life. You know, you're living a life and you say, man, I'm not pleased with my life. And you look at yourself and you say, well, one thing, I'm not a Christian. So, yeah, I really can't be pleased with myself. Or, yes, I am a Christian, but I'm not doing everything that I need to do in order for God to be pleased with me. Jesus is the way to a better life. In John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal. Yeah, that's all a thief is good for, isn't he? Steal it. And to kill. And to destroy. You're in the house, a thief break in, he's trying to steal something. He don't have a problem with killing you. He don't have a problem with destroying your stuff. It's not his, he's going to destroy. Whatever he can't take with him, he's going to try to destroy on his way out the door. But we have to understand what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is all about. He said, I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. He didn't come to steal. He didn't come to kill. He didn't come to destroy. He came to give life. And he came to give it more abundantly so that we may understand what a better life is all about. It's in Christ. It's not outside of Christ. It's in Christ. And we have to accept that and we have to live by that if we are planning on getting into heaven. In chapter 4, the verses 13. In chapter 4, the verses 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. You know, there's a lot, many times where we have asked for a drink of water and someone give us a drink and we go along our way and there we are, we're thirsty again. He said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You don't want to thirst anymore? This is the spiritual life that we have in Jesus, a better life. I believe many of us experience this on a daily basis. And I believe that there is others that they are thirsting and hungering after righteousness because they are not living the better life in which Jesus came to provide and the life in which He has given us. We need to do better than what we're doing if that's the case. But if the case is that we are enjoying this better life, hey, continue to do so. Continue to live this life that God is pleased with. In chapter 7, the verses 37. In chapter 7, the verses 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." You know, that's so important that we realize this. That when Jesus was crucified, when He was buried and when He was raised up on the third day and when He ascended into heaven, He told His apostles before He had done those things, He said, "I am going to send back the Comforter, and He shall guide you into all truth." This didn't happen while He was on earth. This happened after He ascended into heaven. That rivers of water, that living water that was flowing in them, that would come out of them, was merely talking about the Word dwelling within them, the Spirit dwelling within them, Christ dwelling within them, God dwelling within them, this better life. You know, we tell people when they are not living the way we know that they should live or the way we expect them to live, we look at them and we tell them, "You need Jesus." And you know, that's a true statement. They do need Jesus in order to have a better life. When they're always complaining about something and they're always complaining to you, and then not necessarily the one that don't have Jesus, but the ones that are supposed to have Him, you tell them, "Well, you need to pray to God. You know, you're telling me your problems. Take your problems to God." A better life. When we can have that communication with Him. When we are living our life in a manner that He's hearing our prayers, and not only hearing, but also answering. That better life. That's the life that we all are seeking. A better life. And it is only in Jesus Christ. In chapter 8, the verses 12. In chapter 8, the verses 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." How many times have you woke up in the middle of the night and you got up in order to go to the kitchen to get a glass of water or go to the restroom, and you didn't turn a light on in the house? You was familiar with your surroundings, or maybe somebody moved something in the house and you stumble over that thing. Now you got a problem. Well, here is what Jesus wants us to realize. That He's the light of the world. And if you allow Him to lead you, you don't have to worry about living in darkness. You don't have to worry about the sins of the world, because you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're acting the way He would have you to act. And you're the example that He knows that you need to be. There's someone watching you. Always someone watching you. And as they're watching you, you need to ask yourself, what are they seeing? Jesus is the way to everlasting life. You know, there are many times where we've heard about someone dying. We even ourselves, sometimes we may get sick and we think that we're going to die. Brother Theodis said the other day, I thought I was gone. And that's normal. For people to get so sick that they think that they're not going to see the next day or the next hour. Even when we get that phone call that we lost someone, we wonder, if they were Christians, did they live their life pleasing to God? Or we even know that they never obeyed the gospel, and we say, man, it's sad that they never turned their life over to Christ, that they never were baptized, that they never lived a life that was faithful. It's sad. But Jesus is the way to everlasting life. You can't go wrong by following what He has told us in His Word. In John chapter 6, the verses 27. He said, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Don't do it. There's no reward in that. He says, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. It's through Christ that we can have everlasting life. Can't have it any other way. I, myself, wouldn't have it any other way. It's through Jesus Christ. In verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Everyone. Not some, but everyone that believeth in him, on him, shall have everlasting life. You know what this belief entails? It entails obedience. We have to be obedient to him if we're planning on having everlasting life. You can't say, well, I'm a Christian today and I don't have anything else to worry about and live. I can live my life however I please. And at the end, I'm gonna be okay. No. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that we have to live pleasing unto God. And he says, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We understand the scriptures teach us that the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ, those that died obedient to Christ, they shall rise first unto everlasting life. Each one of us, if Jesus comes back right now, each one of us that are living pleasing to him will have everlasting life. There's no, you know, well, you think I'm going to get there? Maybe he'll let me in. I know I've done wrong and haven't gotten where you... No, he's not going to let you in. You don't believe in him. You don't believe that his word is true. Well, we want to believe this today. In verse 47, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Again, you take these same verses and you take it and you look at John 3:16. There's no difference there. You're believing on Christ. And you want this everlasting life, so you're going to live a life that's obedient. Jesus is the way. You can't get there any other way. You can't have it any other way. We said it on the radio the other day. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't live out there in the world and think that you're going to get to heaven. No, you have to live a life that's pleasing unto God. In chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. When Lazarus died, Lazarus believed in who Jesus Christ was. Jesus spoke, and Lazarus came forth. Jesus is the way to everlasting life. You know, I honestly believe that as we think about Lazarus, and we think about how he and Jesus were friends, and he died, and the family was so torn about this. They were torn not just because Lazarus had died, but they were torn because they thought they would never see him again. Even if Jesus hadn't, you know, allowed Lazarus to raise, they still had another opportunity to see him again. What they had to realize and what they needed to realize is that they need to believe in Jesus as well. And they need to live a life that was pleasing unto him. Each one of us could spend our eternity in heaven together. And then there are some that's going to spend their eternity together in hell. What life do you want? Where do you want to spend your eternity? In the book of Revelation chapter 14, Revelation chapter 14, the verses 13, 14, 13, and I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, I've said this, and you've heard me say it. You know, I try to stay busy. I say I rest when I'm dead. And I truly believe that I will have a rest when I'm dead. Because I'm planning on dying in the Lord, unless he comes back before I die. But if I die outside the Lord, there will be no rest. There's going to be torment. There's going to be some things that I'm going to have to pay for. But I want to live my life that's pleasing to God. I want us to all live like this. Right? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. We're not looking for that seventh day rest. We're looking for a rest throughout all eternity. And this is only through Jesus Christ. He's the way that we can have this everlasting life. And it's through Him. We need to understand. Jesus is the way out of religious confusion. There's a lot of it out there. A lot of religious confusion. People are confusing people about this and about that. But if we really want to know the truth, all we need to do is open up the book. Open up the book. In John chapter 17. John chapter 17, the verse is 20. John 17, the verse is 20. As Jesus, you know, a lot of times we look at and we say that the Lord's Prayer is when he was teaching about the model prayer. And that's not the Lord's Prayer. Here is the Lord's Prayer right here in John chapter 17. And he says here, this is like in the middle of his prayer, in John chapter 17, the verse 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Religious confusion? You know what the world teaches? The world teaches you that there are so many that have already been predestined to be saved. If that's the case, why did Jesus pray for individuals to be saved? Why did he pray for this if he knew what number would already be saved? He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou Father art in me, and I indeed, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. What did God do? God sent him in order to die for the sins of the world. He's not just another prophet. Jesus is the way out of religious confusion. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The prayer of our Lord and Savior. We too can pray this same thing, that we become one. See, there are some people out there that are searching. They're searching through the scriptures, and they really do want to find the answer. But there's somebody that's holding them back and saying, don't listen to the truth. Believe this. And they have their Bibles closed. And what they're telling them to believe is some man's doctrine. We need to believe in the doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. We can be free from religious error. We can be free from religious confusion if we would only believe in the Word of God. Jesus is the way. He says here in verse 4 of Ephesians 4, there is one body, not many, but one body, and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now let's just take this one faith and one baptism thing for a moment and talk about it. As I was in the world, and I talked to people, and I asked them about what faith they were, or they would ask me that, and it was some denominational group. I'm of the Baptist faith, I'm of this faith, the Methodist faith, I'm of the Catholic faith, I'm of, you know, the Presbyterian faith. The Bible says there's only one faith. Amen. If you have all those different faiths, which one is real? Well, let's just analyze it. How many of those do you find in the scriptures? Not a one of them. Not either one. One faith. One baptism. Well, there are those that are teaching that, You know, if you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost, then you're not saved. The Bible says there is only one baptism. Well, which baptism is that then? Since there was a Holy Ghost baptism, which baptism is the one baptism? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 3, which was written after Ephesians, I do believe, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, the like figure wherein baptism still saves. And he was making that in conjunction with talking about those were saved by water in the days of Noah. 8 souls were saved. He said the like figure wherein baptism still saves. He's talking about going down into that watery grave because that's what puts us into Christ. You know, just as Jesus was buried, we too are buried. Just as Jesus was raised, we too are raised. Just as He walked, we shall walk a newness of life in order to get to heaven. Out of religious confusion. We really do need to come away from religious confusion. And that's the only way, is through our Lord and Savior. One God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The God I serve, this is what they will tell you, says I can do this or I can do that. Where did He say it? If it wasn't in His Word, God didn't say it. Well, He spoke to me. How did He speak to you? Well, he woke me up in the middle of the night and He put this on my mind. How did He wake you up? How did He put it on your mind? He speaks to us today through His Word. We need to study it. Maybe you're here this evening and you're not a child of God. And you understand that there is only one way, and that way is through our Lord and Savior, through Jesus Christ. The invitation is yours to come on this evening. No matter how old you are, if you understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we can help you out with the rest. Because, you know, many of us, when we were baptized, we didn't know part of what we know today. What happens is coming from Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus gave His disciples the Great Commission, He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go out there, I want you to teach, and I want you to baptize, and I want you to continue to teach. And you teach them whatsoever I have commanded you. And He said, lo, I will be with you always. I will be with you. And so you don't have to know everything in the Bible to become a Christian. You need to understand who Jesus Christ is. That's as Philip preached Jesus unto the eunuch. You know, they were riding alone in the desert, and he was preaching to him Jesus. And they came up on water. He said, well, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? So we have the water. What hinders you to be baptized? As Saul was told, arise, why tarriest thou? And be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. Maybe you're here and you're subject to that invitation. It is yours. Maybe you're strayed away and you're ready to come back to the fold. We encourage you to do so as we stand and sing the invitation hymn. Amen.